That makes sense.
At least third time.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, all that good stuff. We are back. I know you missed us. You know how I know? Because goddamn it, I missed us. My name is Sean Q, my partner, like always,
Jay Roman.
Together, we are OSP, and we have missed you so much, so much. This is our first time being in person recording in, what, a year and a half? Is it a year?
Longer than that.
Longer than a year and a half?
2 years. In person recording?
In person recording.
Yeah, almost 2 years.
Damn, I'm not going to lie, I kind of missed
the last time we recorded, the world shut down after.
Yeah, the entire world.
Yeah.
It was crazy. But it don't matter because we back. We are in the beautiful Continental Room in downtown Fullerton. We are recording. We have some good friends helping us out. It's a new group. We got our good friend Eric Lucas is shooting video for us. That's right, people. We got video. I know you were like, they sound sexy, but what do they look like? Now you get to see what we look like. We got our good friend Jamal. I'm going to just say Ocho Cinco because that's what he puts on his Instagram. And it's funny to me. That's Jamal true. Ocho Cinco. You'll never know his real last name. He's doing sound for us. Baby Mark Henry is what he's been known as. Little sexual chocolate. Little bro. We got all kinds of help now. We are coming to you live. We are supporting what True 100 Radio. They're growing. And if they're growing, we're growing. Everybody's getting bigger. We are back, better than ever. And we wanted to jump into what is the most talked about topic in the last, I don't know, it's got to be the last month or so because it's relatively new. But it's going to be talked about until next year, which was the halftime show. Basically, we're back from our halftime. So we have two halftime shows we want to talk about. The first one is obviously, I mean, we're OSP. We're old school perspective. We like old school shit. So obviously, people were blowing us up about the Super Bowl halftime show.
Yes, yes, yes.
And we have different opinions on it. We have, let's break it down real quick. This is basically, because you know we always start with our what's popping. That's what's popping. People are still talking about the halftime show that happened a month ago. That's what's popping. And the halftime show, if you don't know, if you were under a rock somewhere or you don't, I don't like football, I don't watch the foosball, if you're one of those people, then we could tell you it was billed to be Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Mary J. Blige, Kendrick Lamar, and Eminem. Mm-hmm. Because you got to sprinkle some white in there. You got to throw some salt in that in that pepper salad.
He could be white pepper.
He could absolutely be white pepper. So that was a halftime show at what was a pretty good Super Bowl overall. If you want to talk about the game itself, the fact that it was the Rams playing in the new stadium for the first time in front of fans for the Super Bowl was crazy. It was almost like it was rigged. Some would say it was fixed.
Yeah.
I'm not one of those some.
People always call that out.
Yeah. So it was, the game was dope. But the halftime show is all people have talked about. And to get right into it, there was a lot of money, a lot of talent, a lot of history, a lot of accolades, all on that one stage. That's if you're just talking about the people who were billed, not even including 75 Cent. I call him 75 because it looks like when he was hanging upside down, looked like he added a quarter. So he's not just 50 Cent. I don't want to call him Fat 50, but I will say 75 Cent. Him, and there was a cameo that a lot of people didn't talk about that is one of my favorite artists out right now, and that was Anderson .Paak was on the drums. Mm. People who didn't notice Anderson .Paak was on the drums, really, people? That shit was dope.
That happens sometimes, though, because you don't know where to expect that person. Like, I've seen
Q-Tip
Love come out one time, and he was, like, on the guitar or something like that, and no one knew until somebody said it. Oh, it's Q-Tip on the guitar over there. It was kind of weird.
You saw Q-Tip on a guitar?
Something like that. I can't remember exactly what he was playing, but he was there. And I was like, oh, shit, Q-Tip's on stage. And it was Quali, Kanye, Q-Tip.
Got it.
And like one or two other people were like, everyone else was doing something else, but they weren't up there rapping. And so you didn't know until someone said it. Like, oh, shit, it's Q-Tip.
Yeah. That makes sense.
It's weird how they do that.
It was a dope halftime show. Things were happening all over L.A. Eminem, did you know? Like, you know he has his D-Train restaurant, Mom's Spaghetti?
Yeah.
Did you know he did a pop-up in L.A.?
Yes,
which was crazy. Yep. He did a pop-up. I don't know how many black people was out there eating the spaghetti, but still. It was everything was set up and looked dope. So if you talk about star power, do you know who produced the halftime show?
Produced. I know most of the music was produced by Dre. I mean, as far as like
the show itself and made the whole thing come together. You don't remember this deal was made because black people weren't represented.
I remember Jay-Z was part of it. So he's labeled as producer for it.
So it was Jay-Z and Roc Nation produced the halftime show.
Okay, that makes sense.
They're the reason why it happened, basically.
I was thinking about that because I was like, wait, this is the whole point. But since that deal happened, we hadn't heard anything about it except for the fact that Jay was part of it. Like, okay, well, show us what it means.
Well, no, because they talked about J-Lo and Shakira. That was like their first one, right?
I guess.
And if you have The Weeknd, that's pretty much what it's looked like.
Yeah, I guess so.
So this was.
But they had MJ before that. They've had Prince. They've had Janet Jackson.
Yeah, but for the most part,
we're Super talking Bowl, about people of color.
Yeah, for the most part, the Super Bowl halftime show has been, you know, all white, all white, all white.
No, I can't really agree with that. There's been a number of various artists. Yes, mostly white, I would say.
Yeah.
But
majority white.
You know, if we have a more even number, great. But I also don't remember, except I only remember the ones with black people.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson, Prince.
Yeah.
Janet Jackson, which now obviously hasn't been for a while. Yeah. And then this one.
Yeah.
And then, of course, The Weeknd. And I do remember, what's that one skinny guy's name who has that group with Anderson .Paak right now?
You talking about Lil Bruno Mars?
Yes. I've seen his.
I think Roy Wood put it best when he was like, our national anthem should be redone by Bruno Mars because nothing represents America like Bruno Mars. You don't know what the fuck he is. He could be Hawaiian, Mexican, Puerto Rican, true, Asian. You know what the fuck he
and
is.
And he's just coked out.
He's just a little melting pot of a man. But that, I mean, yeah, we've had dope shows. So this one was, I think there was confusion about it because it was the West Coast and it's in Inglewood and it was the Rams in it. People assumed it was a West Coast show.
Yeah.
And if you look at it there, the theme was West Coast. They were over, an outline of the city. It was a full on house party.
Yeah.
They had the whole thing, like the dudes is wearing, the dancers were wearing khakis at one point. They had the lowriders on the field. Yes. Everything about it.
There was a choreographed crip walk, it looked like.
There was a choreographed
masked crip walk in the middle of Inglewood.
If that's like a Guinness Book of World Record for biggest crip walk fucking congregation, that's a stupid thing to put in there. But it was a it was definitely West Coast themed. There was a problem a lot of people were having because, I mean, we live on the West Coast. We're coming from Cali. I talked to a lot of West Coast rappers, and they were like, yo, man, how the fuck is there supposed to be a West Coast show if Mary J. Blige and Eminem is in it? What they need to do is they need to get Ice Cube and, you know, that one bitch that sings in all the West Coast songs that nobody know about.
Like, Lady Rage, not, Michelle something.
That's my thing. Is it's not, and that's what I was trying to tell them. I was like, it's not that it's a all West Coast show.
Yeah.
It is Dr. Dre's halftime.
It was a showcase of Dre.
Yes.
Basically.
And Dr. Dre can pick whoever the fuck he wants.
Yeah.
And he chose people who he's blown up with. He blew up with Mary J. Yeah.
And he chose Death Row.
Yeah. He could pick whoever he wants. If there's a halftime show and it's DJ Khaled and it's in Miami, people can't be like, how come, you know, where the fuck was Rick Ross? No, yeah. I don't. It's his show. He could put Justin Bieber, whoever the fuck he wants to put in.
Don't stop Bad Bunny.
Yeah. No, baby. Bad Bunny. Fuck, I can't get that commercial out of
my
head.
Oh, my gosh.
So... with this show, one of the things that one of the many things that everybody talked about is, I don't know if you remember, the girl said it right before they came on, it's the first ever hip-hop rap halftime show.
Yes, the first ever as just that. There's been plenty of rapper/singer combos.
Right.
But this is the first rap showcase, period. And MJ up there, she is the queen of hip-hop soul. People may not remember that, so maybe she wasn't rapping, but she's queen of hip-hop soul, so they better respect that. You know what I mean? So I'm tired of the comments like, oh, I didn't like it, or it's all this or that. You don't even know what you're talking about. Just let it be. Enjoy the damn thing. If you didn't like it, okay, great. You liked Bon Jovi when he was there. You liked Bruce Springsteen. Great. Whatever.
Right. Or The Who, which I don't know why The Who. I don't. I'm still worried about that one. So the thing I liked about it, and this is obviously a reflection of Jay-Z and Roc Nation, is the whole show was black and brown.
Yeah.
Jhené Aiko did the America the Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And then, what's her name? Mickey Guyton did the national anthem.
Yeah.
So it was like front to back. Listen, if you don't like minorities, this is not the Super Bowl for you to be watching.
Yes.
So there's tons of people, there's videos on TikTok of like people being at like all white house parties. Mm-hmm. Like, what in the fuck is happening? There's so many of them.
Well, considering the teams are like 60-75% black people.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing that I got the most is the censorship. There's a lot of controversy. There's a lot of controversy for any fucking big event.
And
like
I got
that.
Some good points for that. So you go with your point, and I'm gonna counter with that one.
Well, I'm gonna tell you the first thing that they talked about was it was like censorship.
Yeah.
So apparently there was a whole conversation between the NFL, because you know the NFL, they're like, ever since we saw Janet Jackson's titty, they're like, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this. Mm-hmm. And they had a bunch of rules that they set in place that these super defiant artists decided, yeah, fuck you, I'm gonna do it anyway.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give you an example. They said in Still DRE with Dre, they said, don't say the line, still not loving police.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, fuck you, I'm gonna do it. He did it anyway.
Yeah.
They told Snoop, you can't wear a blue bandana hanging. This nigga wore a whole ass bandana. His entire outfit was a whole ass blue bandana. And he had like little yellow trim, so it looked like it was Rams colors.
Yes, of course.
He found a way to get around there. On a side note, that video surfacing of Snoop smoking right before he goes up. Have you seen that? They show him like crouched down before he comes up, and he takes like three quick puffs.
I didn't see it. No.
Everybody's like, "Oh my god, he smoked weed right before." You're like,
"Oh, is that what they were talking about?"
Yeah.
I thought they were talking like before.
No. As in like as his contraption is raising. Let me get this last puff in real quick, and then he went up.
Okay, I didn't hear that, but I heard some jokes about it, and the jokes were like, "It's Snoop Dogg. If he's not smoking weed, you may not even know who he is."
That part. You're like, "Wait, you were surprised that Snoop Doggy Dog was smoking right before his performance? What the shit?"
I thought they were just concerned that he smoked outside in the car before he came out or in the locker room.
There's a clip.
So he smoked on stage.
There's a clip. They show him crouched down in Rey Mysterio position for all the wrestling fans out there. He's crouched down. He took like three quick hits. Like, all right, let's go get this money. Came out and there's smoke around him. Like, no, that's not fog smoke. That's his smoke. Don't matter. That's how he performs. The dude's been doing it for 106 years. That's how he performs. I thought it was dope. But they told him not to do that. He wore a whole ass suit. They told Eminem, you know, don't take a knee. Because if you take a knee.
I don't know if they told him that.
So they kind of, the thing was, people
like,
were.
Was he saying he was going to take a knee?
So apparently what I heard was throughout the whole practice and rehearsal, he took a knee and it was part of the show. When somebody asked about it, they assumed it was a whole Colin Kaepernick thing, and people jumped out like, "Oh, he took a knee." Even some dumb bitch on TikTok was like, "I like how the one white artist is the only one that took a knee for black athletes." They're like, no, bitch, he took a knee. If you pay attention to the way the song is set up, they played Tupac. Dr. Dre sat down.
Yeah.
He played the intro to "I Ain't Mad at You." Eminem took a knee for that in honor of the fallen West Coast God who couldn't be there but should have been there, which is part of a rumor I heard. Should have been there. Couldn't be there, so he took a knee in honor of Tupac. And it could have doubled in with the whole Kaepernick thing.
Yeah.
But he wasn't blatantly like, "Oh, you said I can't take a knee? I'll fucking show you." That's not what happened.
Yeah.
That's just how it got blown up to happen. However, even if they told him he couldn't do it, he did that shit anyway. He was like, "Oh, I'm going to do that shit anyway." What did you said there's a different take on? Because that's some of the controversy I've heard.
So it wasn't really about, for me, the controversy, I guess you could say. But when it came to the defiance, okay, so there's that. But there were also interviews with Dre and Snoop and all them beforehand.
Right.
And they were saying what they were going to do is bring their style, of course, that they've never been able to showcase to the worldwide stage. People remember, music is worldwide, especially hip-hop. What Dre was saying is we're going to show out there that we can be professional. We can do this. We can do that. We can be part of this conversation of being able to have gigantic performances in for the biggest stage. So that right there really kind of caught me. Like, that's right. They are professionals. Mm-hmm. These are professional musicians, professional music people. I'm going to break it down right here in numbers for you really quick. Okay, Dre.
Time out real quick. I just want the people to know. Yeah. I'm so glad we have video of this.
Yes.
He's writing on a notepad.
Pen.
Pen and paper.
Old school perspective. Pen and paper.
Pen and paper.
Look at that. Combined, see?
He's got a phone in his pen and paper. All right.
So, Dre, you got 40 years, right? Probably 40 years plus in hip-hop music.
Yeah.
You have Snoop, 1991 is when he hit the scene, really, 30 plus. You got M, 35 years minimum. He's been in since at least 96, his first album. You have 50 Cent, 20 years at least. He's been actually since late 90s, so a little more than that, because I remember Pun was still alive. So you have 20 plus years. You have Mary J. Blige, 30 plus years, easy. You have Kendrick, 15 years-ish, right?
Yeah.
Combined, it's 170 years of experience in music, especially the hip-hop music business.
Yeah.
So the whole idea of them being professional also brings us to kind of the new school of, like, I hope these young cats watch them.
Yeah.
Because it's really important to see this. This is where you could be. You may want to think these are the old guys or whatever, but you still bump it every time you go out. You know it. You took your styles from them. You took your cues from them. But also, one big thing for me that I was bringing up to people was, like, they have radio edits of those songs that they played.
Mm-hmm.
So they could say the whole lyric, the whole line, the whole bar, whatever it is.
Right.
You know, whereas, like, these cats these days, they don't have a whole song where they don't bleep out half the damn first verse.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have the radio edits. And maybe they have the defiance in them where, like, oh, I don't have to, you know, dumb down or soften up my song for the radio. But you kind of should, because it flows better. If I can't listen to your radio song and know the words at least somewhat to where I get somewhere and I hear the true words, like, oh, okay, that sounds better, then it's kind of useless to me, because then I change the station if half the song is bleeped out or whatever it is, or blanked out or silenced or whatever. So it's a really big deal that these guys were on there showcasing themselves 170 years plus plus of experience.
Yeah.
Between one, two, three, between six people.
Yeah.
Okay. Not including Anderson Paak, who's been on there now at least. He's 10. Been around
he's
for at least
10. So that's 180. You know? Don't short him his 10 years.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, but exactly. You had all those things. And hip hop is the music of defiance. It is the music of the people fighting back, all that stuff. So I'm not surprised that these things happened. I do hope that the NFL doesn't, you know, take it out on them. Like, okay, well, we're not going to have another hip hop based thing for 10 years.
Right.
Some kind of bullshit like that. And hopefully they don't. And they probably won't. They're just going to get more friendly songs or more friendlier rappers. But this one had to be this way.
Yeah.
First LA Super Bowl in, what, 30 years?
It's something like that,
First
one in the 21st
way.
Century, yeah.
Exactly. So there was no other way around it. You, West Coast, whatever it was, it didn't matter. It had to have something like this because otherwise, why bother? This is LA.
Yeah.
This is what people come here to see.
Yeah.
The show. And Dre, he is the show.
Yeah.
I don't care what anyone has to say. He is the show.
The dude made the whole stage a fucking soundboard. That was insane.
Exactly.
It was crazy
to
me. Like, it was a whole ass soundboard.
Exactly.
For the stage.
It was one of the most elaborate sets I've ever seen.
You know what's
and,
funny?
You know, is the dancing and
I've been to a couple Rams games this past season, and I'll go and they have like the mariachi Rams or whatever. And Dre's always there in his box. And at one point, the mariachi Rams are doing California Love.
Yeah.
And I don't know why it's so funny to me. But you have the band playing behind him, and the guy goes, "Let me welcome everybody to the Wild Wild West." And see Dre over. That's how Dre looks over in the box, like, "Ah, son of a bitch."
You know, I hate that shit.
Yeah, can't wait till the halftime show. I mean, it's dope, but at the same time, the stage that's untouchable, like it. Guinness Elliotness.
Yeah.
Guinness.
You're tripping.
It was fun to see them actually do the real thing. However, other side of controversy, keep in mind, again, we live very close to LA, we talk to a lot of LA heads. I know a couple of rappers that are actually on their way up, and they had one of the complaints they had was if everybody was being defiant and going against what they were supposed to do, why didn't Kendrick Lamar? They told Kendrick, don't say the line, and we hate Popo, and he didn't say it.
Yeah.
If you go back and watch it, he didn't say anything. He's just on what is now been being called, and you said somebody called it this, and I agree with it, the second Black National Anthem.
The Black National Anthem Part 2.
Part 2. The Black National Anthem Part 2, which – I mean, we're going to be all right if you – give me 1 second. Before we even get to that, he didn't say the line.
Yeah.
His performance was dope. And I was trying to tell people because somebody was like, oh, it should have been more. I'm like, dude, you get 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. You get a 20-minute – I don't give a fuck who you are. Yeah. They gave MJ 20 minutes. Prince, 20 minutes. If Elvis came back from the dead and wanted to do a halftime show, that motherfucker would get 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And you have 20 minutes with these six or seven artists doing the best they could in that 20 minutes. Yeah. So he only had like the two songs. And for his 3-minute set, he killed it.
Yeah.
He had the Golden Lords with him.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if that's what he was going for, but that's what those of us who are old school heads saw. If you remember Meteor Man, which I quote a lot, Robert Townsend, the Golden Lords with Debo and Don Cheadle. Okay. Back, I mean, the Golden Lords, they came out. He made a bunch of brothers bleach their hair blonde like Cisco. And wear black suits like the Golden Lords.
I'm going to have to go watch this again just to get that part.
Oh, my Golden Lords!
I think I missed when he was on. I just heard the words. I just heard the music. So,
he had the Golden Lords performance. And it was he kind of had radio-friendly lyrics. I don't know why he didn't say the line, "We hate Popo." My thing is, I feel like it was a miscommunication barrier between him and Dre. If he had known Dre was going to say, "Still Not Loving Police," I think he would have said the, "We hate Popo." Granted, the word hate is considered stronger.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they said the same. It's the same message in both songs.
I mean, Dre produced a song, "Fuck the Police." We know where that comes from.
Right.
So it's kind of disappointing that he, I guess, said okay to that. But he did want to be on the stage. It's still also featuring you on the biggest stage in the largest telecast of anything every year.
Right. It is. My thing was, so I've been to... Fuck, I've been to like 400 concerts in my life. But the last like three I went to, including like Erykah Badu, I think when me and Vel went and saw Jadena, and then I believe, I don't remember what the other one was, but their theme at the end of the show, which I did in my last show I ever performed, I took from them and did the same thing. Their closing song was "We Gonna Be All Right." Yeah. And that was the closing theme. That was the closing message, is no matter what's happening in the world, no matter what's happening to our people, no matter how shitty things get, we're going to be all right. We got this. We'll be fine. So I agree with the statement that that is the Black National Anthem part two.
Yeah.
Because him saying it the way he said it, we are going to be all right no matter what happens. So it just kind of sucks. I agree with the West Coast cats on that part, that it does kind of suck that he took that line out. But I don't think that takes away from his overall performance. The overall performance was dope to me. I liked the halftime show. However, not only are there people who did not like it, which if you don't like rap, that's fine. Yeah. If you don't like any of those artists, that's fine. However, the conversation came up because, again, we are watching this in California. I watched the Super Bowl in three different bars throughout the game.
Mm.
And I'm surrounded by these West Coast heads. You're like, oh, that is the greatest thing I've ever seen. Yeah. Everybody turned into Max Kellerman. Like, nothing before and nothing after. This is a fucking great ass.
With all the recency bias?
So I'm like, okay, timeout. And then it's funny when I say, is it though? The first reaction people have, because they see me and they're like, let me guess, Michael Jackson was your favorite? Like, first of all, Michael Jackson wasn't my favorite halftime performance. However, if you take the time to go back and watch what Michael Jackson did for the halftime show, keeping in mind that he was the biggest star in the world.
Yes.
Not in America, not on the West Coast, not in a couple of countries. The biggest star in the world.
Yeah.
I rewatched that Super Bowl halftime show. I feel like everybody should go back and rewatch that because there are a few things that happened in his performance. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, it's still not my favorite.
Yeah.
But here's why it should be like number two over the one that we just saw. Not only was the entrance spectacular, like there, I don't know if you remember the entrance, but they showed like on the Jumbotron.
Yeah.
They showed him spinning, doing a move. He jumped up, and on top of it, Michael Jackson stands up, does a move. Everybody's like, oh, shit, he's going to do from up there. And then they move to the other Jumbotron across. This is the Cowboys and Bills. He does a move. He jumps up. Michael Jackson comes up out of the smoke, does a move. They're like, wait, is he over there too? Middle of this fucking stage, in the middle of the field, Michael Jackson comes up, and he did that shit. And everybody was talking about you can only do this in London. Remember when he went to London?
Yeah.
He did that shit where he came out on stage, and he stood there for like 10 minutes. He didn't say shit, and people lost their minds. Everybody's like, he'd never get away with that in America. Yes, the fuck he did.
Yeah.
Not only did he get away with it in America, he did it at a fucking football game.
Yeah.
A testosterone-heavy fucking football game. He was like, I don't want to see Michael Jackson prancing on stage until that motherfucker jumped out. And he was like, oh, my God, it's him. It's him. And they lost their minds. He stood there for, like, real time, three real-life minutes. Just stood there. And then slowly took his sunglasses off. Mm-hmm. And these motherfuckers started fainting.
Oh, yeah.
Guys who love fucking football. I'm a goddamn Dallas Cowboy fan. I'm not going to faint when, oh, my God, it's Michael Jackson. They fucking passed
out. That's why it was cool to be from Texas, too. So,
dude, oh, my God, right? Long, 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 long time ago before the Cowboys were trash. So he jumps out. He does his thing. The show itself is a spectacle already. He's got pyro. He's got a four-way stage. He's running around. He's dancing for everybody in the crowd. He's doing all the songs you want to hear him do. And I still to this day don't know how they convinced everybody in the arena to do this. He turned the crowd into pictures of children.
Mm.
He made everybody in the crowd. You are at the fucking Super Bowl. Yeah. There are Bills fans and Cowboys fans. And he starts to do Heal the World. And as you go around, everybody puts up a thing that makes a silhouette of a fucking child.
Yeah.
And it's not just like shows today where you're like, all right, we're going to have a bunch of extras hold this up. No, everybody in the fucking crowd did this. They all participated. Turned the whole crowd into kids,
nice,
put a big ass globe in the middle of the thing, brought every kid around the world up on stage. It was a fucking spectacle. Without that spectacle, you couldn't have what we just had.
Mm.
You couldn't have Dre turning the whole stage into a sound booth. It wouldn't have happened because they didn't know you could make the Super Bowl halftime show a fucking spectacle. Yeah. So that one to me, dude, is number two. In my heart, it's number two. I think this one we just had is my top three. This is my third favorite Super Bowl halftime show I've ever seen. What's your number one, Jay Roman? Would it be that one?
It's probably this one.
That one? Wait, this one that just happened?
Yeah, probably this one.
This is your favorite halftime show all time.
I really did like the weekend one. I know a lot of people didn't like it, but I really did like it. Plus, the memes that came out afterward were amazing.
So. I think it was dope because of the limited amount of fans and resources he had. I think the Weeknd show, I don't even like the Weeknd.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan. I don't hate him. I'm just not a fan. But I thought his halftime show was dope.
Yeah, but I'd have to go back because I haven't watched all the halftimes. I remember when Janet City came out, we were outside playing football. So,
yeah, so
I missed that.
So here's my thing. here's why I think Prince had the best halftime show. And I'm going to keep it real short and simple.
Assless chaps now?
No, no, no. Here's why Prince had the best halftime show. The nigga made it rain.
Yeah, that is true. It did rain. And he kept going.
The nigga made it rain for Purple Rain. This magical purple nigga made it rain. I don't know anybody else who can make it rain purple in real life. Prince did. Everybody danced and bathed in the purple rain for that halftime show. And that, to me, is magical. You can never top that. I don't give a fuck who they have on stage. So I did hear a rumor because we
what's this rumor you keep talking about?
Because we live out in the LA area, I heard a rumor. And the way they explained it to me, it sounds believable. So do you know how much it cost to do the Tupac hologram at Coachella that year?
No.
So people think it cost...
I wish because that's even a thing.
People thought it cost like millions of dollars. It cost like hundreds of thousands of dollars, like 200K.
And what is that? Just the licensing rights?
That was that and to set it up and make the hologram look the way it went.
Okay.
You would assume, oh, that man, they brought Tupac back. That cost... No, that cost like 200K, yeah. Which I believe Dre... I mean,
you're just projecting an image.
Right, but I believe Dre has that in his left sock right now. Yeah. So apparently there was a plan to use the Tupac hologram.
Interesting.
And it was going to be... After where Eminem did his thing, where he was going to take the knee and the hologram was going to show up.
Yeah.
But apparently, like, they had everything set up, but the time it would have taken to get it set up, ready to go, with the lighting to where it was visible and all that shit, plus you got, I mean, it's the Super Bowl, so there's, like, snipers and shit everywhere. Yeah. It would have taken away from the 20-minute show.
Yeah, okay.
So they said the only thing that stopped the Tupac hologram from happening was time. Which makes tons of sense. It takes 2.5 minutes to make 50 hang upside down and do in the club, as opposed to like
that,
the 18.
That never happened.
I mean, it's something, but it's better than the 12 minutes it takes to set up, project, showcase the Tupac hologram.
Yeah.
So I feel like if they had more time, we would have saw Tupac.
I mean, yeah. I mean, but instead we had a chipmunk 50 Cent. So he should have just walked out like he did in the movie. Just
no, you had to do the end of club. No. I like the hang down. Screw you that. Have to do the hang down. It was the video, was and awful. It was in a house party.
They should have. No.
It was in a house party. I thought it was dope.
I get that. But I got it. When you're practicing and you're up there rehearsing, as soon as someone saw that, like, you know what, 50? We're changing that. I'm tired of the yes men.
All right? Right.
Somebody just tell me, yo, this doesn't look good.
Yeah, it wasn't. I mean, maybe the old tank didn't work.
Because once he got down, he looked like, okay, you're bigger, but he's still in okay shape.
Yeah.
But yeah,
he doesn't look good hanging upside down. The cold cuts are seeping through his pores. You can see the cold cuts. We're gonna take a break. We haven't taken a break, man. I haven't said that in a minute. We are gonna take a break. We gotta get some bills paid.
A break,
and our bills have stacked up since we've been in person.
Oh gosh,
we got COVID bills to pay. We are gonna take a quick break. We will be right back. Keep your eyes open. Keep your ears open. Halftime of our halftime episode. Go.
It's halftime, like Nas, you know? You probably don't even know that song because you're a Nas hater.
Anyway. Whoa.
How dare you? You're a reformed Nas hater. I know you don't know the halftime.
First of
song.
All, I've never hated Nas. I just wasn't a big Nas fan. There's
I know,
a difference.
I know. True.
I don't like Jay-Z.
True.
But I don't hate shut the fuck up. I don't like I don't like Jay-Z. If I had a choice between Jay-Z and Nas, Nas all day, no question.
Yeah,
that was
the beef
at the
time. Route, but
yeah, no. Most people would go the Jay-Z route. Ask the young nigga to my left. Nas or Jay-Z? See, Jay-Z called it. Thank you.
I said my circle, which is you.
Your circle is a straight line.
And Bill Street would say Jay, so whatever.
Yeah, I say Nas. Anyway, we are back. Long story short, welcome back.
So speaking of our halftime, you know, we're coming back to talk about another great halftime. And the 75th All-Star Game, or no, I'm sorry, 75th season. What's it called?
It was like the 75th anniversary of the NBA.
The NBA, which is amazing.
Which is amazing.
My favorite sport overall.
Okay. You
know, to play. I was better at that than anything else, but
okay.
Never good to really make the team. I never really tried for the team, though. I probably could have made it. Who knows?
Probably.
Now I can't do shit. I can't jump. I can't run. I can't do anything. My ankle's all jacked, but anyway. You saw what apparently was an amazing halftime show.
Please tell me you didn't watch it.
I didn't get a chance to really watch it, man. I've been a busy man.
Are you fucking kidding me? I too have been a busy man.
All I saw was the trash ass dunk contest.
That was terrible. That was a waste of time.
The 3-point contest, which I gotta say, is still just as good as ever. It's interesting with this Mountain Dew ball and all that. It's cool, but these cats can score like I've never seen before. I mean, they're doing 25 to 30 regularly. Whereas, like, before, it was like Craig Hodges had, like, 13.
Right, right.
He may have had more than that, but
the fact that Karl-Anthony Towns won the 3-point competition shows the I guess some would say the progression of the NBA. And I felt that way.
He's a big man shooting like that.
He's a big man shooting. A big man winning the three-point competition is unheard of.
Where was Steph Curry? How come he didn't play?
Because he was in an all-star game, and he, I don't know, he's in an all-star game.
I always expect him to be in the third, three-point
contest. No, because he's so used to winning it and being in it. Why do it? At some point in time, you're like, give it to somebody, let somebody else
take
a shot.
Craig Hodges did do three in a row. Obviously, I know a lot about Craig Hodges because I'm old and I loved him. But, yeah, he stopped after three in a row, so whatever.
It's one of those, like, at some point, let somebody else literally take a shot. Like, let the other guys do it. Like, and it's funny, they have a clip of there's a game, or they're doing, like, the all-star game announcements.
Yeah.
And Kat is asking Steph, like, give me some advice. He was like, you know, just grab and go. And he was like, do you look at the basket? Do you look at the ball? What do you do? He was asking for
whatever
tips.
Whatever your style of shot is. What do you mean?
No, he wanted to know, like, what's – because you're not – you don't practice – full speed shooting out of baskets for three-pointers. This is like a first-time thing.
And
even
a
if you
whole
practice
rack that's all money balls. So I guess it's that.
So he asked him, he was like, give me, do you have any tips? He was like, yeah, you know, grab, get it. The rhythm is everything, blah, blah, blah. He asked him for tips. And then he won, which is crazy. The dunk competition, you know what made it more trash? Is the fact that they have a show called The Dunk King, and they have a bunch of nobodies doing insane fucking dunks, and these professionals are putting up trash. That's why when you see the look on Shaq's face, like, I can't believe we have a show dedicated to nobodies doing great shit, and the people who get paid millions of dollars to do this suck at it. That's what makes it hurt more.
My thing was, it just they give them forever to do it.
And they still put up shit.
If they don't have the ball in their hand and in control, it doesn't count. They get to do it again.
Listen, I'm not saying this just because I'm a Bulls fan, but Zach LaVine and versus Aaron Gordon was the best dunk competition since Vince Carter and Richard Jefferson. Jason Richardson and Vince Carter.
I must not have seen anything.
Are you fuck? You didn't see the 2016 dunk competition?
Probably. Maybe. I've seen a lot of them.
Some of the greatest dunks ever.
I maybe did.
Ever. And what sucks is, any of those dunks they did against each other would have won this year's competition. If they had done just one, they would have won the whole fucking thing. I'm talking like taking the ball from the mascot, and Aaron Gordon put both his legs out. Sorry, I'm fucking with my mic. Put both his legs out, put the ball under, and dunked it. Fucking insane. And he still lost to Zach LaVine. It was crazy. But this year, it was trash. But the All-Star game itself, with the new format, it's not a bad game. It teaches you a few things about the players. It showed you why my current favorite player right now is Giannis, because Giannis doesn't have an off switch. Giannis is that dude that you have to explain to him, dude, you're not supposed to play defense. He was like, eh, fuck that.
Giannis is old school. He's that type of player that I loved watching. He doesn't want to make friends with you.
Yeah.
He wants to eat you alive on the court.
Yep. And he doesn't understand, don't play defense. He's swatting balls and shit, playing defense. They're like, why are you guarding me at the All-Star game? He's like, shut the fuck up. You want to fucking –
he's doing work. That's right. You mean at the All-Star game.
At the All-Star game. He's the only one playing defense.
Usually they just let them do whatever.
Yeah, and he's like, no, fuck that. You're not going to dunk on me. That's Giannis. I love that dude. Yeah. But the All-Star game was – it was whatever. It was so – not scripted, but it's in Cleveland.
Yeah.
LeBron's there.
Of course.
First one to 163 wins.
You always got to feature like the
guy
from that
town. 161 to 160. Yeah. Or 161 to, yeah.
Do you have to win by two?
You have to win. No, you just have to win first one to 163. Who takes the last shot? LeBron James with the turnaround. Cleveland goes fucking crazy. It was so fucking stupid. The game was trash. But the All-Star game halftime, they did a whole ceremony for the top 75 players of the 75 years of the NBA. And parts of it are controversial. Just any list you put out of players is going to be controversial.
Of course.
But the ceremony itself was dope.
If Yao Ming wasn't in the top 20, man, we ain't talking.
Yao Ming.
I'm just messing.
Right?
His career wasn't long enough for me to put him there.
So what they did was, it was a weird, so there's a bunch of legends. They had some people who wanted to be there, who could be there. You had to be able to stand up for, I guess, 20 minutes was one of the requirements.
Yeah.
They had some people who were off-site. And they would just, like, wave at the camera
with
a white background. And then you have these, what do you call
pedophiles?
Them? No. Not well, before we get that, we had these, I call them frail niggas. So they had these frail niggas where they put, like, a picture of Anthony Davis and a picture of Kevin Durant.
Oh.
Because just them standing up to wave would break something. How these glass-ass athletes are.
Kevin Durant's not always injured like that, though.
Kevin Durant gets injured enough to where he couldn't be there or remote. They had picture of this nigga. He's like,
I don't remember his.
Kevin Durant still weighs 180 pounds.
Yeah.
And they had the same thing. Anthony Davis, if he would have stood up to wave at a camera from his house, he would have broke his left eye.
Yeah.
That's how fucking frail this nigga is. But they had people that I saw this thing. It was like Karl Malone had to show up off site because this is so stupid. because the arena is 100 yards within a school. And that's the running joke with Karl Malone, because everybody just found out recently that Karl Malone knocked up some fucking 13-year-old. Now, mind you, how old is Karl Malone? Like 50-something?
In his 50s now.
Yeah, this is back when he was 20.
Yeah.
Which is still bad.
Yeah.
He was 20, and he knocked up a 13-year-old.
Yeah, not good.
Which is not good at all.
13 is junior high.
Yeah. To put that in perspective. He knocked up a 13-year-old, and the family didn't press charges or anything. The kid then grew up to go to the fucking NFL and play some years in the NFL. Yes. Karl Malone's bastard kid that he had with this 13-year-old grew up and had a short NFL career. That kid is 37 years old now. Like, that's fucking... That's insane to me. That dude had a good life with his mailman-ass daddy, and the mailman was delivering fucking statutory babies at that time. So the joke they have for Karl Malone is that's why he was... I don't know why he wasn't actually on site. I think a lot of the people they had that weren't there was because they couldn't stand up, or it was like COVID rules. They didn't want to be around other people.
Yeah.
Or they couldn't stand up for 20 minutes. I don't think Karl Malone was one of them. But for whatever reason, like Steve Nash wasn't there. He was offsite. He still is in a COVID protocol. Oh. So he couldn't be there. Oh. And then it was weird because they had players who...
I saw him on the court before that. I guess they had before the All-Star game.
You know what's funny is on ESPN, on the bottom ticker, it was like, here are the people out for today's Brooklyn game. Mm-hmm. It was like Kevin Durant, Blake Griffin, and Steve Nash. Like, why would... Don't put Steve Nash's name there like he's still a player. But it was like COVID protocol, so the coach couldn't be there. Mm. So the people are waving, whatever. They're doing the weird wave at a camera in a weird room in their underwear, which is fine. But the players who were actually still in the All-Star game, this year's game, had to go change into the jackets. The jackets they made for the 75th yeah. anniversary with this basic-ass black blazer with a little fucking 75 logo on the left. It was so basic and so shitty.
Well, I mean, the Masters green jacket is just a green jacket with the logo.
Yeah, but it's like a green jacket to represent, you know, the green. Even the...
Did you
the,
want it to be like wood color? I don't get it.
No, because if you get... Have you seen the jackets for the Basketball Hall of Fame? They're orange, like a basketball.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Right. You got the gold NFL.
So what would you have proposed?
Anything.
What?
I mean, black was... Red? It was... It was so basic. Mm. It was just such a basic ass, like, throw on a black blazer real quick. We'll put a 75 patch on it. Mm. It just seemed for a league to celebrate you being around for 75 years, and either the top 75 players of all time.
Yeah, that is still alive.
Go put this Men's Warehouse ass suit on, and we put a patch on with an iron in the back. I don't like that shit.
Hey,
but,
hey, Men's Warehouse is a good place.
Stop it. It's like a Joseph A. Banks suit. they were, I don't know, they were ugly. I didn't like them. But so this one... Just like the NFL halftime, or just like the NFL Super Bowl, it was all black.
Yeah.
It was all black.
I do remember that.
The intro for the Diamond Anniversary was done by Lawrence Fishburne. Mm-hmm. The intro for the whole thing for halftime was Spike Lee.
Yeah.
The intro for the first, they did it in forwards, centers, and guards, mm-hmm. and they did it for a reason. But with forwards, the intro was done by J.B. Smoove. Don't ask me why. I don't have a fucking answer for you. So they introduce all the forwards first. Yeah. They come out. Who's the last forward to come out? If it's in Cleveland.
Jerry West.
No, he's a point guard. He was, if it's in Cleveland, it's who's the last forward to come out? They started with Charles Barkley and with LeBron. The crowd goes fucking crazy.
Well, LeBron is considered to this day, and I still think maybe it's Pippen, actually, the greatest forward of all time. So
here's what sucks about that. If you look
I love
at
Pippen
this,
so much that to try and knock him out,
right.
and he was as good as he was, it's kind of hard.
But when you're looking at that, you see these people in the top. You're talking about, right. There's Tim Duncan, there's Kevin Garnett, there's all these
there's
people.
Carmelo.
To make people, Carmelo, to people like, I don't know if it's LeBron, when you see all these fucking legends. Yeah. So LeBron comes out last. Then they do the centers, and they have Tiffany Haddish introduce him. Ask me why. Not
why?
A fucking clue. No, okay. No fucking idea.
That's right. I was hoping you didn't have an answer for that.
No fucking idea why it's Tiffany Haddish, but whatever. It's Tiffany Haddish. So they introduce the centers. The centers come out. You know, people stand up for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Shaq does a little dance because Shaq has had the best, outside of like Jordan and probably what's going to happen with LeBron, Shaq has had the best post-basketball career I've ever seen. This dude
is
made.
Magic Johnson? I mean, staying within the basketball world, yes, I can give you that.
In the basketball world.
Besides Jordan, who owns a team.
No, because Shaq has everything from like TV shows to reality shows to Papa John's to this motherfucker does everything.
Yeah.
And he's made so much more money post-basketball than he made while playing basketball that it's insane.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Anyway, he comes out, does his little, you know, his little shuck and jive dance. Then they do the guards.
Yeah.
And for the guards, mind you, Forrest Whitaker is the one doing the voiceover for this package. Mm-hmm. Black on black on black on black. Yep. And then they have Usher, because when I think 75 years of the NBA, I think Usher.
Yeah?
I think Usher Raymond.
Yeah, okay.
No, nobody fucking does. So
I mean, it's Cleveland. They could have brought out Bone Thugs.
They could have brought out anybody. Why the fuck is Usher? Let somebody fucking do the Weekend at Bernie's and have Jim Brown out do it.
Oh, my God.
Basketball. Like, fucking let Jim Brown do it. Anyway, so Usher comes out and talks about the guards. And two things happen. One, I think it's fucking hilarious that they boo Steph Curry in Cleveland because he took a chip from him.
Yeah.
And in the All-Star game, because he wasn't a captain, it was broken-ass Kevin Durant. Just so you know, Kevin Durant was a captain and couldn't even play.
Yeah.
Team Durant had no Durant. That's so stupid to me.
When you get the votes.
That's so stupid. So Steph Curry, for the first time, is on Team LeBron. And they're in the Cavaliers fucking locker room. Mm. And they had a video of him. He's like, this feels weird, man. I've always been in the other locker room. Does it always look like this? It's so brown. LeBron's like, you gonna be okay? Yeah, I don't know, man. This is weird. But he comes out, they introduce the starters, they boo him. Right. So when they're like, and then, you know, three-time champion, whatever, Steph Curry, they boo him again. They hate Steph Curry so much. And then I love it because Reggie Miller was like, I don't think these people know that LeBron and Steph Curry were born in the same hospital.
Yeah.
They were like,
who would know that though?
People who do, I mean, people who collect trading cards.
Weird stat people, yes.
Yeah. LeBron and Steph Curry were born in the same hospital in Ohio. Yeah. That means Steph Curry's from Ohio. How is it his fault that your dumbass GM didn't draft him?
Yeah.
He shouldn't be blamed for that because he came and won a chip against y'all. Y'all should have drafted him. Don't boo this, man. He's a fucking hometown boy and y'all boo this nigga. Anyway, whatever. So Steph Curry comes out and then, obviously, everybody's feeling some type of way. Oh, shit, Allen Iverson's here. Jerry West, the logo is here, and then the God comes out, and when the God, because I don't even look around. What the fuck are you looking around for? Who are you looking for? How dare you?
Bill Walton.
You motherfucker. he was a center, wasn't he? So everybody's doing their intros and shit, and then, you know, the God comes out, and when the God comes out, everybody stands up, because obviously you end the top 75 with unquestionably the greatest of all time.
Wow, unquestionably.
Questionably, the reigning, defending, undisputed.
Mr. Russell might have something to say about that. I guess he always does.
Bill Russell played against small white guys his whole career. Next question.
I know. Different era.
Yeah.
Different era.
So Jordan comes out. Everybody stands up. They have this platform that's built to where everybody's like in this ring. Yeah. And there is no spot for Jordan because he just stands in the middle of the fucking court because he is basketball. Yeah. And the minute he comes out, these motherfuckers are fanboying out over Jordan.
Of course.
Like, the legends, fucking Jerry West, and they're like, hey, let me talk to you real quick.
They haven't seen each other in a while.
Kids are like, oh, my God, is that Michael Jordan? Like, John Morant and them are like, I've never met this nigga. Oh, my God.
Yeah, true.
He's so much taller in person. Like, they
just know he owns the team that they go out to play.
That's it, but they don't see him there. Yeah. They're not allowed to go in his box after. Like, so the God shows up. Everybody kind of loses their mind. And then, for whatever reason, I mean, I get it, but I don't get it. Yeah. The halftime performance show was done by Earth, Wind, and Fire. Now,
because they're 75 years ago, still doing music.
I'm trying to think of an artist.
Could it be because of like Ohio roots, something like that?
I don't know. I don't understand.
So
I mean,
research.
I listen, Shining Star. When I used to fight for a hot minute, I would come out to Shining Star, only because that part when that first horn would hit. I would do my Randy Orton. But I don't understand why you would have Earth, Wind, and Fire for the 70. Maybe because they've been doing music for 75 years.
I mean, that's all I'm thinking, because they are currently this Chicago, Illinois, which doesn't make sense.
Right. That makes no sense to me. Like, they're old as shit. They didn't sound good. And they didn't lip sync. They did the whole thing. So somebody saw the verses and was like, oh, they look good on verses. Let's get them for the halftime. Yeah. I feel like you could have got a lot of other people to do that. But, I mean, whatever.
That's not a choice.
The ceremony was dope. There are tons of questions. Like, when you get all those legends, you get that much talent in one building.
Yeah.
You get to renew old rivalries. You get old beefs.
I guess. I mean, yeah, people that competitive, they always have that thing.
Let me give you an example. Remember how we talked about The Last Stand? Yeah, you know how Jordan hates Isaiah Thomas?
Yeah.
This is their first time in the same building together.
Mm.
Yeah.
Been that long, huh?
Yeah. This is their first time. And
I guess you could say that close, because they've definitely been not have been around
not
somewhere.
Since The Last Dance, not since The Last Dance, not since that documentary came out. They haven't been in the same. Why would they be in the same building?
Yeah, I guess not.
So they haven't been. And so keep in mind, you're Isaiah Thomas. You watch this documentary on Netflix. You hear Jordan calling you a piece of shit, calling you a liar. And then he walks out and he's in the middle of the stage. You're like, man, yeah. I hate that nigga.
Old
he's
beefs, man,
Aaron Burr to Hamilton. He's just watching. He's like, man, I want to shoot that nigga so bad.
just, no.
He does not like him. They said it was Charles Oakley was yeah. like, Isaiah Thomas is that dude who's like, I never did that. And he's showing the footage. He goes, that wasn't me. I never said that. No, sir, we have footage. Nah, that wasn't me. That was a different time, man, different yeah. era. But there was old beefs. And then they had, like, same thing. I don't know if you know this. But in the last, what, like 4 or 5 months, Scottie Pippen's been, because he was trying to promote his book.
Yes.
Talking shit about Jordan.
Yes.
Talking about all that shit so about ridiculous. Jordan. And now they're in the same building.
Yeah.
Everybody, this is their first time being in the same building. What you going to say now? The beef with fucking Charles Barkley.
That really kills me that Pippen even said any of that because, for one, he's one of my favorites. I always liked him better than Jordan. But also, you can't say shit, man. You're the one that decided to sit your punk ass on the bench because you were upset. And then not help your team win.
Yeah.
When you're sick and all that, fine. But you decide to pout and sit down like a baby and not go out and do your job.
Yeah.
And let everyone else do it for you. And look what happened, you know?
So his,
stuff like that. Like that's the major thing in my brain always for him. So
this is their first time. So Jordan comes out in the middle of this ring of fire, surrounded by beefs that he had. Keep in mind, him and Charles Barkley used to be best friends. And they fell the fuck off. The first person they introduced was Charles Barkley. The last person they introduced was Jordan.
Yeah.
So this is like a motherfucker you're beefing with, and he's right there. Like, he's right there.
Yeah.
He's right there. Remember that dude you've been talking all that shit about in public? He's right there. So they have a clip that was on, it's everywhere, where Jordan's in the locker room talking to all the young cats, and everybody's around him. He's doing his God thing where everybody's like, oh, my God, I got so many questions. And then Magic Johnson comes in. And he was like, oh, here comes this old head. Here comes one of the old cats. Yeah. And that's when he looked right at Magic. He was like, go put some sneakers on. Let's go one-on-one right now. And Magic starts laughing. Jordan doesn't even crack a smile. like he was like, dead ass. Yeah. Let's go play one-on-one right now. Which would have been, I mean, they could sell tickets
so
for that.
We've had that talk. So my thing with Magic and Jordan is, yes, Jordan beat him in the finals. But we're talking in a time where it was towards the end of Magic's career, even if he would have stayed minus HIV and all that. So he... I always wish that they could have met up in the mid 80s, like right when Jordan got there.
Right.
Because Jordan was fresh. I would have loved to have seen them both kind of in their prime. Jordan was the next coming. Obviously, Magic was still really good. Had Magic stayed in, he may have been able to get him for one time if they rebuilt the team a little bit. But
he would have gave everybody AIDS.
But it would still have been the Lakers the next couple years. Portland wouldn't have made it. Phoenix wouldn't have made it, but whatever.
Overall, it was a dope halftime. They changed the name of the All-Star MVP trophy to the Kobe Bryant trophy.
Oh.
Because he had, what, 18?
Didn't they do that last time?
He has, like, 17 or 18.
Yeah, he's the he has the most all-star picks or something
until,
like that.
Most all-star selections until LeBron breaks it next year. Then it's going to be.
And I think it might be in a row. I can't remember. I remember the stat being really big, and it was, like, in a row. Maybe it's not anymore because I think it broke 1 year.
That makes sense.
But I can't remember now.
That makes sense.
You know me. I wasn't a Kobe fan anymore after he tried to rat out Shaq, which was 20 years ago. So
I was never a Kobe fan. Yeah. So it's more of the show was dope. The halftime show was dope. But the same thing, that list was controversial. Like, you're watching some of these people show up. I cannot agree with a list.
You mean controversial as in, like, you don't agree who was number five?
No. So here's the thing that I like. Because they put it in order, they did centers, forwards, and guards.
Gotcha.
They didn't do it like, here's number 75. Number one. Gotcha. I mean, because that would have put Charles Barkley at 75 and Jordan at one. I don't think that's the order they're in. They put him in order of position. However, I don't believe that in the 75 years of basketball, you have a list that includes Dame Lillard, but excludes Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili.
Mm.
You're talking about four-time champions, multiple-time All-Stars, multiple-time All-NBA
and Tony
teams.
Tony Parker did lead the team to one or two in the end there.
Dude, Dame hasn't won shit.
I know.
Why in the fuck is Dame Lillard on? He has a couple of clutch shots. That's it.
Goodbye.
So clutch shots are more important than this guy who's won four chips?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
That makes no sense to me. How do you exclude – how is the only Spur out of that whole dynasty run, because they were a fucking dynasty, how is the only one you have on there? You have David Robinson at the end of his career, and then Tim Duncan,
at the start
no
of
Manu, no Tony Parker, no Robert Horry. Robert Horry got like 11 rings, bro.
Yeah,
like, what
does.
The fuck?
I mean, I would think Sean Elliott, but Sean Elliott wasn't ever great. He was really good, but he was never great, even though he daggered the Lakers, I think, in that one – that one playoffs, but
I don't understand the argument that puts Damian Lillard and James Harden in a conversation that that Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili aren't in.
So I didn't see that whole list. I have to take a look at it now. Do they have like Chris Webber, maybe Tim Hardaway?
Oh my God,
Chris Mullin, who has gold rings. I mean, gold medals.
Chris Mullin was on the fucking dream team. Nope.
Exactly.
Nope. Hmm. But it was on that list,
that's kind of odd.
On that list, there's a James Harden, a Damian Lillard. Somebody argued about
kid plays now.
Somebody argued about Russell Westbrook, and they're like, "Well, I was like, timeout. He is the triple double.
Yes.
He made history.
He broke the classic record.
Right. If you break a record, that's not easy to break. Yes. I mean, it's hard to get that many triple doubles in any fucking form. I don't care what the format is.
Yeah.
He belongs on that list just off him making history. Why is James Harden on there? Why so the fuck
like
is Dame Lillard?
It sounds like it's a mix of old and new. I understand why James Harden's on there because he had the scoring title a few times. He's as good, all-star.
Did he have the scoring title a few times? He had it like once.
A few times. So it's – but I've always hated the way he scored. He shoots to get the foul. He doesn't shoot to score the ball. And I don't know. James Harden kills me.
I don't – he doesn't belong on that list. If there's one reason why James Harden belongs on that list, it's because he created a shot that nobody thought to do before.
So is James Harden on the list and James Worthy isn't?
Yes and no.
That's some bullshit.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Because James Worthy had a great college career and a great NBA career.
I don't get it. Hmm. I don't get that when you think about – I mean, I don't know what they use to base the list.
Yeah.
I guess at the end of the day, it's a popularity contest.
True.
Kind of, though. When you see, like, Bob McAdoo and shit on there.
Plays a lot into that.
Absolutely. How the fuck – you're telling me that throughout the annals of the whole 75 years of basketball, more people talked about James Harden than they did Tony Parker? Because Tony Parker remember, not only was he a French basketball player, but remember when him and Eva Longoria, like, that was a whole thing.
Yeah.
That was a big thing in fucking media.
NBA.
It mattered.
Yeah,
it mattered.
Of course.
If you're talking about popularity, that mattered.
So that's probably why his popularity went down, though, because he cheated on her and blah, blah.
So the fuck what? So the beard belongs in there?
I don't know, man. I can't call it. That's why I don't pay attention to these damn lists. Man,
that makes
stupid.
That's the only thing.
I don't know who I like.
I didn't like that shit. That bothered me. I feel like the list should be tweaked. And then because they did that, everybody since has made a list. Bleacher Report has a top 75. SportsCenter has a top 75.
Yeah.
ESPN has a top 75. Everybody's, we are not going to make a top 75 ever because that's way too many players. That's bullshit. But I can tell you right now, if I made one, Tony Parker would be in it.
Okay.
He would. The dude has... The 76 and four honorable mentions? Who did that?
I mean,
TNT. Oh. Yeah. See? Honorable mentions. I mean, which
Stephon Marbury, he had his own shoe that was cheap at a cool store.
They don't care. They don't give. They give less than a normal amount of fucks.
Interesting.
I don't get it. Anyway,
Stephon Marbury has championships in China, if I'm correct.
Yeah, but they don't count in the NBA.
True.
Anyway, it was two dope halftime shows. James Worthy is on the list.
Thank
he was
God.
There. I don't know if I saw his
Thank
name.
God.
I didn't see a thing of him. But I mean, like, Will Chamberlain.
That'd be blasphemy.
Blasphemous. That's just blasphemous. So that's our two. That's our return from halftime. It feels good to be back, man. I'm not going to lie to you.
It does.
I'm happy to be back. We had to come from halftime with some halftime shit.
I'd say, though, you know, the big point, I guess, kind of what we've made is don't discount the older people.
Yeah.
Don't discount the old school because they taught you where you are now.
Exactly.
Jordan is the reason basketball is what it is today.
Agreed.
Dre is the reason music is what it is today.
Agreed.
So it's interesting.
Yeah.
You know, so people aren't paying attention to this. Like, oh, it's just this. It's not just that.
That's a big deal.
It's laying out history for you because if you don't know it, you don't know your future. You don't know where to go. So just one of those things, you know?
Yeah. You can't know where you're going until you know where you've been.
Yeah.
And on that note, real quick, let's get into our quick what the shit.
Yeah. It's really quick.
What the shit is this?
What kind of shit is that?
Real quick, what the shit. There's a war going on.
Yep.
All right. So next time.
Yep.
We will get up with you next time. This is Sean Q saying be smart.
Jay Roman, peace for Ukraine.
Peace. There's a goddamn.